Well, here's an interesting number. One half of our farm workers came here illegally. Now, one way for those who are here illegitimately to gain some legitimacy is to have a child on American soil. But this strategy leads us to ask, who should pay the other costs for our undocumented farm workers?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 645th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Yokohama who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. And we have on the board engineer Nikki James. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Also with us today, we have producer Carol Stafford.
Hello, Carol. Hello there.
And Parmley Taff is off today. Folks, though I no longer work on the farm, I love to eat, and so I am all for having someone else do the farm work for me. One half of those willing to work on the farm for me and you have snuck into the country without documentation. In less correct times, we would have called them illegal immigrants. With no documentation nor any rights to speak of, immigrant farm workers will work for much less than, say, a unionized government employee. You and I get cheap food. The immigrant farm workers get a job and everybody is happy, right? Maybe not. The truth is, nobody wants to live illegitimately, and so our undocumented farm workers look for ways to become documented. And one way for them to get documents in some legitimacy is to bear a child on U.S. soil. That child will then be a U.S. citizen and have all the rights thereof. This is becoming a very popular strategy, as it is now estimated that 20 to 25% of all births in the state of California are to undocumented immigrant parents. These births cost the taxpayers of California $1 billion every year. But wait, that's just where the numbers start. There is another $4.6 billion for education, medication, incarceration. And so it's beginning to appear that our cheap farm labor may not be so cheap after all. And this leads us to ask, who should pay the other costs for our undocumented farm workers? With us here today to explore this highly contentious and divisive issue, we have Ted Hilton with the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010. Ted, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Pleasure to have you aboard. With the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010, what is that?
Well, there are three major provisions. First, it would restrict all public benefits to only those who are citizens or qualified aliens.
So this is an initiative, right?
A ballot initiative. We're getting signatures right now for it. Would deny the child-only welfare program to all parents who are here illegally or who refuse to go to work or refuse to be drug tested. So those are all parents who are operating outside the law. Then the provision that you're probably most interested in are the changes on the birth certificate laws, where the illegal mother will need to go in person to apply for a birth certificate, give her official government photo ID, fingerprint, and public funded cost of those births, and that's going to be provided to Homeland Security prior to receiving a birth certificate, which also states that it's a foreign parent.
Mm-hmm. So this is a California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010. It's an initiative, is in the process of becoming an initiative. I guess you're out collecting signatures, right?
Correct.
Okay, folks, not with us today are members from the United Farm Worker Union. We wanted to have them come in and talk about this issue, but for some reason, they just don't like to show up on News Talk radio programs. I've done 645 editions of the Food Chain, and I've only been able to get them on once, and that was under the condition that no one else be on the show with them, and they would not take any phone callers. So I haven't done anything like that since, and so we just have to live without them, and and to hope that maybe somebody from them will pick up their phone and call us up and let us know what they think today as well. So let's start off really quickly, but how much does this cheap immigrant labor really cost us? Ted, does your organization have any handle on what, you know, the real cost of illegal immigration is?
Well, I think they're saying that it's up to $10 billion, but you've got education being a big part of that. The part that they don't talk about...
$10 billion a year?
$10 billion, yes. Here's I'm going to talk about $2 billion that the state doesn't even talk about. The state gives the figure for the births to the undocumented at $400 million. 100,000 births, approximately 4,000 a delivery. Everyone knows not every delivery costs that amount. You have at least 12% which are premature. You have complicated C-sections, ones that require $50,000 of medications each month. So those cost, if you do the math, $2 billion. An average premature birth is just under 165,000, according to the Associated Press. Center for Disease Control validates the percentage of that 12%. That's what you have. So these people that are trying to gain a foothold in the United States are actually costing us a lot of money. As soon as you have the child, you're eligible for the Women, Infants, and Children Program, WIC, food stamps, public housing.
And this is regardless of whether you're a citizen or not, right?
Exactly. The federal government just opens up the door all of a sudden. And then the big state program is the child-only CalWORKs program, which is not federally mandated, and we have the right to end it. So, certainly it could go under a challenge, but counties have traditionally cared for children mm-hmm. whose parents are unable to do that. So I think there's a good case here. And whether we can stop parents from coming in who are here illegally. I mean, that child has been given actually an extra protection under the law. People need to understand that the state of California has allowed that child to remain on welfare for 18 years.
Wait. 18 years?
18 years, yes. And even in spite of this budget deficit crisis, the state did not end that. The legislature did not end that.
So how does that work that somebody can be on welfare for 18 years?
It's called the child-only program. The checks are direct deposited into the bank accounts of those parents. And it's also done for parents who refuse to go to work, refuse to be drug tested. In Los Angeles County, it runs 70-30. 70% of the cases are those undocs. And the others are just people who are in violation of the work requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the officials who convinced me that the entire program needed to go. And of that part of the program, I mean, the governor has talked about ending the entire program, but I don't think that's going to come to pass. But this is the part of the program which is really full of waste, fraud, and abuse.
So it's not just, you know, the babies being born that cost the money then. I mean, what you're saying is that once the child is getting money, the child can get money for 18 years.
Yes, yes.
A check every month?
Yes.
Direct deposited?
Yes, yes. And Congressman Bilbray he was a county supervisor, so he has actually gone on the record and said some of these parents actually have left the country, and others are taking these checks for them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the occurrence. And then we have situations where people are getting benefits where they didn't even give birth in the United States. They've just obtained a birth certificate from someone else. It's been sold on the street for $5,000. The registrar's office has gone on record stating that.
Well, I'm curious as to, you know, who pays the costs for the other costs for our undocumented farm workers? It seems to me like somehow, we're able to hire cheap labor in the fields and pay them, you know, a few shekels, as it were, to work in the fields. But that's only, you know, one of the costs, and it seems to be maybe the least cost of all, whereas the biggest cost of all is everything else.
Well, here's what I wanted to sort of address with the farm workers' representatives, which you said are not going to be on the program. But I think we start to have to look at options to what we have. You mentioned half of the farm workers are undocumented. So we have the governor saying that he's going to release 27,000 felons early.
Can you hold this thought? We have
sure.
to take a quick break.
Sure.
This is something I definitely like to talk about. Who should work on our farms? How should we pay them? And who should pay the rest of the costs of all of those incredible other costs for our cheap labor? This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're talking with Ted Hilton from the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010, an initiative process in the process. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Wake up, pick up your phone, and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Ted Hilton and you.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, I no longer work on the farm, but I sure love to eat, and so I'm all for having someone else do all the farm work for me. One half of those people working out there on the farm are here illegitimately, and one way they can gain some legitimacy is to have a child here in the United States, and that child becomes a citizen, and they get the rights that we all have. So my question is that this is obviously becoming a very popular way of getting some legitimacy. Almost 25% of the babies being born in California alone are estimated to have come from undocumented immigrants. So that's a lot of money, maybe $10 billion a year or something like that. Some of those children are said to be able to get money from the government for 18 years, direct deposit into their checking account. As strange as that may seem, but that's what's going on out there. So we're with Ted Hilton, who is with the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010, an initiative process in the process of being put on the ballot in the year 2010. And we also have with us Mike, who has a quick question that we'd like to follow up as it will let us proceed from there. Mike, welcome to The Food Chain.
Yeah, hey, Michael. I'd like to ask Ted, how much is a typical welfare check, the ones he's talking about that last for 18 years, a monthly check, say?
Well, I think for one child, it's like $550, $570, and then two is $850. Somewhere up in there in the 800s, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to know that.
So,
okay.
Mike, let me ask you this. Who do you think should pay for the extra cost, for all the other costs for undocumented farm workers?
Mike, you know darn well what I think.
Well, tell me.
I think the top 1% of the people that stole all the money in the first place from in the Bush administration, the $777 billion missing dollars, I think that should do it.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you
very much.
All right.
So we were talking a little bit about, all of the farm workers, if there is an alternative, and Ted, you were saying that there might be an alternative.
Right. What you have a lot of nonviolent felons, juvenile offenders, people who have committed petty crimes. I mean, the sentencing guidelines could change. I mean, they could serve part of their sentence, or maybe the whole sentence is in some type of job. mm-hmm. you know, farm work, dishwashing, landscape, the types of jobs that the undocumented fill. I mean, this is going on in other states in Colorado where they're using the inmates to do the farm work. So California just needs to be more creative in how it channels its people. You heard Bush and others say they're doing the jobs Americans won't do. The correct terminology is they're doing the jobs Americans aren't required to do. And the taxpayers are paying triple for that. They're paying to have people in prison who shouldn't really be there. It's just for drug offenses. They could be doing these jobs. Then you've got to pay for, you know, the extra added cost to the farm workers who have a lot of children and require subsidies to take care of those children. So, you know, the taxpayer is losing.
Well, let me ask you this. It seems like, you know, there's essentially the upfront costs of farm workers, of you know, undocumented farm workers. You pay them a paycheck every week for doing their work. You pay them X amount per hour or X amount per production, per harvest, whatever the measure. But, you know, that's one cost, and it's paid up front. And those of us who eat food pay that cost up front in the cost of the food. But there's this other cost that seems to be going crazy, $10 billion a year for undocumented workers. But that cost is not factored into the cost of food. It's hidden away in taxes, right?
Right. Well, a big part of that is the education. They're mm-hmm. estimating now that 1 million children who are here not as citizens or permanent residents are going to the public schools. And you multiply that times, you know, 5,000 or 6,000, and you're up to close to 6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5,000 to 6,000 a student.
So if this cheap farm labor that we have really isn't cheap, is it?
No.
I guess that's the point I'm trying to get at. It's cheap wages that we might pay them, but all the other costs really add up too.
That's right.
And shouldn't I guess this is the question I really want to get to today. Should not those other costs be factored into the cost of food instead of foisting them off on taxes?
Well, that's an interesting question, but I just think the debate needs to start to evolve where we have the people available. You know, they can wear GPS devices. We can channel the mm-hmm. people out to do this farm work. They're doing it in other states. And
I'm looking at that notion, and I think fine to have prisoners do farm labor, but I'm thinking that, gee whiz, if we factored in all the other costs, we could be paying our farm workers $200-$300 an hour. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, that could be right.
So I just wonder if by shifting the most of the costs, 90% of the costs for undocumented farm labor onto the taxpayer, we really aren't, you know, heading down the wrong road here. If somehow we factored those costs into what it really costs to grow food, maybe we'd be much better off.
Well, what's happening is when you have the female farm workers, you had that 17-year-old girl that was out on the fields and died from the heat exposure,
right.
Didn't have enough water. You know the case.
Right.
So that's a typical example where immediately they're getting pregnant. I mean, the Latino community has a very, very high teenage pregnancy rate, and I think that this is how they gain a foothold. I mean, as soon as we started prenatal care for the undocs in 1988, California had a teenage birth rate below the national average at that time. It only took 4 years for it to go twice the national average and the highest of any state. So once you have those programs, they serve as magnets. So I think once you know, we're going to end the prenatal care as a starter. I know there's going to be a hiccup in there because people are going to say it's going to cost more to have that child because they didn't have the prenatal care. But let me tell you, a lot of these women don't have it anyway. We read the stories down here. They're 5, 6, 8 months pregnant, and they're caught by the Border Patrol coming over. And You know, that's the only way you're going to stop this, is just to not have prenatal care and make it very difficult for them to get the document.
Okay, let's go to the phones and see what our callers have to say. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, welcome to the Food Chain. You've got Ted Hilton and Michael Olson. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Well, I used to work for the county, many areas of health and also, you know, programs like Justice Department, like drug prevention, things like that. And you don't even know how wrong the administration is on that program.
You know, you have a, are you on a cell phone, Carlos?
Yes, I am on the cell phone.
Maybe you could step around a corner or something, and because you're coming in really broken up, and it's hard to hear you.
Oh, I'm actually driving right now.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of fog right there.
Oh, okay.
So just pick any program,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you will see how wrong the administration. For example, I used to work in a mental clinic as a counselor. I used to have, like, about, 60, 80 patients. And, you know, most of the program is paid by Medicare or Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a cycle, you know? The patients are going to the detox for 90 days, and after they get well, make some money, they go back to the drug.
Okay, so saying is that they don't stay on the welfare for 18 years.
Yeah, well, I used to work for the UI program with illegal aliens and all that stuff.
Okay. Carlos, I'm out of time here. Can you hold on? We'll see if we can pick you up when we come back from the break. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We have Ted Hilton, and he is with the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010, an initiative to, I guess, try to address immigration. And we will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, one thing is for sure, you and I don't want to work on the farm, and yet we love to eat, so who's going to do the farm work for us? Well, almost half of those people doing the farm work for us are here illegally. They have no documents to prove their citizenship or their right to work here, but they're here anyway. And so we pay them to work on the farm, but we also pay them a whole bunch more in unrelated costs. We medicate them, we educate them, we incarcerate them. And somewhere between it's costing people here in California somewhere between $6 and $10 billion per year to take care of these undocumented workers. So, my goodness, the cheap farm labor that we have doesn't seem to be all that cheap after all, does it? How should we pay for this undocumented work? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Ted Hilton with us, who is addressing the issue in one way by putting together a California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010. And
I'd like to give out the website.
Please do. Please
so
do.
So they could read more about it, see mm-hmm. what we're doing. It's taxpayerrevolution.org. TaxpayerRevolution.org.
So, in short, you're not for having taxpayers pay for this cost, I guess, right?
Well, no, because the United States is eligible. I mean, we can have a guest worker program if we choose to. But the federal government needs to realize you're never going to have that if you have programs available to these people immediately when they have a child in the United States. The automatic citizenship policy is really bankrupting California. I mean, if you start adding up all the costs, you're up to at least $55 billion for the last 20 years. And that's what it's costing to subsidize people who are here undocumented that are having all these children. So it's not weighing out. It's really dragging down the California taxpayer. And it's the fault of Congress.
Okay, good. Let's go to our phones and see what the listeners have to say. Let's start with Ben. Ben, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yes, this is the great Ben, and I have a question. You know, a young man just called you named Mike, and he asked a question like the $1.2 trillion that Bush gave away to all the Nazis over there in our government. Of course, they're all white and nice. But you guys also remember, yeah, you're talking about $6 to $10 billion to maintain the illegal immigrancy here. Those people put $16 billion into the economy. And you guys are also forgetting the fact that 80% of the people on welfare, the awful, terrible welfare, are white women with children. Do you hate your own people? Or are you just concerned about the... And if your guest there is so concerned about taxes, what about the trillion that Bush just gave away to the other people who believe in white affirmative action? Shouldn't that not be addressed?
Okay, well, let's address it.
Okay, well, one thing, I think what he's saying is correct. I think when the last person comes off welfare, then we can talk about undocs and guest worker programs, mm-hmm. and bringing other people in. Really, I think the American taxpayer knows now what's happened to this economy, the budget deficit crisis. They don't want people on welfare anymore. Those people should be channeled into the jobs that we have.
Well,
there are no
the
more
bankers
excuses.
Be taken off of welfare? The bankers that took the billions and billions, shouldn't they be taken off of welfare, sir?
I agree that there are problems in that realm
Ben,
as well.
Ben, yes. let's be polite, okay, Ben?
I agree that there are problems, you know, that you were speaking of, but we're not addressing those in this measure. I mean, this is completely different.
Okay.
I don't know how you can legislate what happened in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere in California. We're not going to be able to address that problem here. We can only address what's right in front of us.
Okay, and speaking of what's right in front of us is Rose. Rose, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you. I guess the thought that I had was probably like a guest worker program. I grew up in the Midwest, and they had, of course, seasonal crops, not as many seasons as we have here in California, but the workers came in, they did the job, and then they went back. And so
Right. That
seems like that would be, I don't know why the guest worker program doesn't work here, or maybe it's never been tried, but at least...
It certainly has been tried. It was called the Bracero Program, which I think translates to strong arm. But it worked for a long time, and then it didn't work. They canceled it and got rid of it, and that's that.
Well, then maybe that's something to think about. Another comment I wanted to make when you were talking about the people that are incarcerated coming out and working, perhaps using them in the fields. I've listened to some of the discussions on what is going on in other states, and to me personally, it would seem like the way some of them work, probably many citizens of California, if the inmates aren't treated humanely in some way, that would create another whole issue. But if the ones that are incarcerated that are not legal citizens, maybe they should just go back to Mexico, have them transported back to Mexico, and then make it a little harder for them to come in, because certainly our crime rate has, I mean, not that it isn't many different cultures that are causing the crimes, but if it's this many people that we're talking about going to work in the field, I think that would just open up another whole can of worms. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, thank you.
She's right on target on a lot of things, but I will say one thing that the Border Patrol has said about, you know, she's talking about the criminal element being deported, but they've given as one of the top reasons that they immediately come back into the United States after deportation is because they have left children behind.
Well, okay.
And this is a policy, this automatic citizenship policy, that's not only bankrupting us, but it disallows us to enforce our immigration laws. You know, when you deport someone, you've already created this magnet for them to come back into the United States because the child has not been deported. They're staying with a friend or a relative, just waiting for the parent to come back.
Well, let's go to Carlos. He's back. So, Carlos, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Is your guest an attorney?
Go ahead.
Okay. My question is this. I know people who have been in this country for 10, 20, or even 30 years without being legal. And the reason of my question is there is no law to legalize those people. Even if they pay taxes, speak in the language, they have a clean record, it's people who are good citizens. I wonder why there is no law to help them to become citizens. I mean, if you're telling me that...
Well, that's a good question, Carlos.
It's a good question, but I have another one. If you're telling me that after I become citizen, I'm going to be really wealthy, okay, I understand your feelings about, you know, building the wall or whatever you like to talk about, but it's just a document.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about. You know? And people who have been for this country for 20 years or more, without going back to their country to see their own relatives, that is crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that is called freedom.
Well, let me follow that up when we get back from this break, okay, Carlos? Okay. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. And when we get back, we'll have Ted see if he can address Carlos's question about what about people who have been here for 20 or 30 years, law-abiding, paying lots of taxes, doing the work that we don't want to do? What about them? Shouldn't there be a provision for them to become citizens? We will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-4798. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Back with Ted Hilton, California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010. Right back. But what do you think out there? How should we go about paying for the other costs for our undocumented farm workers, for the people who harvest our food, for grow our food and process our food, for the people who make it possible for us to have cheap food? And hey, is that food really cheap? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-4798. We're with Ted Hilton, he of the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010. You can learn more about it at taxpayerrevolution.org. And Carlos had an interesting question. Ted, what about those people who have been here for many, many years, law-abiding non-citizens, I guess you might call them, people who have done the work for us and have been here for a long time? Should there be a provision for them to become citizens?
Well, I think in this economic climate, that the polls are showing that is dropping by the minute. It's not the right environment to do that. I will grant that there probably are some very hardworking, decent people. There are. And I would like, you know, if we had the luxury, we could trade those with the people we have here, but we don't have that luxury. So what we have to do is focus on the people that are here, getting them to work. What happened in the 1930s was that over half of legal immigrants living in the United States had to leave. They had to go back to Europe or wherever they came from because there just wasn't enough.
And that was during the Great Depression?
That is correct. And I think we're at that juncture now where we're going to have to get our own people out there working. There's another issue I want to bring up. It's called remittances. And we hear about the billions of dollars that are sent out of the United States by the people that are working here, or some are legal and some are not. So, you know, there's a real question mark here. I'll tell you a story. I mean, it's not a story. It was on the front page of the San Diego Union-Tribune about two people who came here about 10 years ago. They've had four children. They sell tamales on the street. They work out of their kitchen, and they supply some Mexican restaurants. And they're building a house in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the question arises, and the two never married because I guess in you know, it's in some regards, it's easier to get services if you don't have a spouse. The unmarried, you know, since we're talking about undocumented, I'm not trying to single out Mexican or Hispanic, but I mean, that's just the population that comes here illegally. What you have is the unmarried rate has gone from 18.8% in 1980. It's in 2006, those giving birth, 42.6. It's up to 1880. It's over 40%. It's 42.6, I think, percent said they were. No, it's 48. It's right in there.
Well, here we have somebody
that not married in 2006.
Here we have somebody that I'll bet knows a lot of good farm workers. Chili Bob, welcome to The Food Chain.
Well, thank you, Michael. Appreciate you taking my call. And Ted, good day to you. I sympathize completely with your issue, Ted. The only problem I see, we do need farm workers. It's obvious we need farm workers.
Right.
I understand how things have gone on the past 20 or 30 years and have resulted in the problems we've got. I think that's mostly the problem.
Chili Bob, do you remember the Bracero program?
Oh, yes, I do, and it was an awesome program.
What happened to it?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure why it went away, but I was younger then, and I didn't pay much attention, but I know that it was a great program. The one they've got right now, the H-2A, is extremely expensive, and there's only a few people using it. It's got a lot of burdens on it. But the question I've got for Ted, which I think is extremely important, is I don't know how much legal background you've worked on this program or this issue, but you know, you've seen in the past the state of California will pass an initiative, and then some liberal judge will rule it unconstitutional, and what's going to keep this from happening again here?
Right.
Good question.
Okay. We've used the exact language for the restriction of public benefits that was used in Oklahoma, which has already been upheld in district court. Since Proposition 187, the federal government has already restricted public benefits, but they allowed state legislatures to authorize those if they chose to. So that's what happened in California. So now we're strictly following federal law here. On the birth certificate provision, we welcome a challenge. Let's get that issue into court. Let's find out, you know, about the original intent of the 14th Amendment, if these children should be born citizens of the United States based on their parents' jurisdiction under the law. And then the issue of the child-only welfare program, I mean, that other gentleman called in and said they're not really using it, so what's the problem if we do end it? You know, the federal government doesn't mandate that program, so I think we're going to be on solid ground on that provision as well.
So you're willing to battle this in case the liberal judge decides to rule it unconstitutional. You're going to continue fighting.
I think that they will appeal.
That's good. Very good.
Thank you, Chili Bob. Appreciate your phone call. Let's go quickly to Steve. Steve, welcome to the food chain.
Hi. I want to respond to Carlos. He really hit a nerve when he said, that's freedom. We've got a rule of law in this country. When you come over the border, you break the rule of law to start with. I don't care how long you've been here. If you've been here a long time, you've got to have a Social Security number. You're breaking another law. Now you're not just a misdemeanor. Now you're really in trouble. All the way through that 20 years, you're going to have to show that Social Security card several times in order to get jobs. That means you're breaking the law every time. So you're talking about a person. You throw out a suggestion that this person is a good person, has been following the law and everything all through the 20 years he's been here. Well, BS. He's been breaking the law all the way through.
Okay, Steve, got to take a quick break. I'm going to put you on hold and let you finish when we get back. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, we're with Ted Hilton and you right back. So how should we pay the other costs for our undocumented farm workers? Some costing us somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 billion a year in California to have cheap labor in the fields. It doesn't seem to make much sense to pay that much for cheap labor. So what on earth is happening? We're going to go quickly to Steve and let him finish. Okay. Steve, are you there? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I believe that we need to follow the rule of law. I don't care. I mean, if it's any other law, 20 years later, it ain't going to matter unless there's the statute of limitations. If you want to put a statute of limitations on a felony, go ahead. But I think this is a great thing. We got to keep, just like the liberals, we got to keep going after it. If they annihilate it in court again, eliminate it or whatever, then we'll do it again. We'll just keep going after it because it's the right thing to do. We're going to pay the price anyway. People say our food costs will go up. Well, you just said it. What about the taxes we're going to pay that, what was it, $10 billion?
Yeah, it seems like we're paying a lot of money for cheap food.
And another thing that it's not doing, where we're not allowing technology to step in. We're having these cheap workers, and we're not doing them a favor either. These people are working here for 20 years, and they have nothing. They have burnout bodies, and they have nothing.
Like I said earlier, I think we could pay our agriculture people who work in our fields $100, $200, $300 an hour. Given that if we weren't paying all these other costs,
exactly,
billions of dollars. But let me ask Ted, what happened to the rule of law?
Well, it was interesting. The caller brought up Social Security numbers. And what we've read in the newspaper is that some of these farm workers are actually using the child's Social Security number to get unemployment insurance when they are not in the farm work business. Some have actually left the country. This has been in the newspaper, and the growers have taken this to the legislature and tried to get them to do something about it, to stop it,
and they have done nothing. So you talk about the rule of law. I mean, it's the California legislature that's not even following the law at all.
And I heard the feds just said, stop arresting anybody. You can't take or send anybody back anymore.
So essentially, we've lost the rule of law.
Totally.
If there is no rule of law, there is no rule of law.
Right. TaxpayerRevolution.org. We're trying. We'll go to the Constitution if we have to. This is statute, but if they throw us down, we'll go right back. Like your caller said, apologize, forgot your
That's
name.
Right.
We'll go right back. We'll put it in the Constitution.
If we don't, anarchy is next. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you very much for the call, Steve. Kind of a spooky call when it gets right down to it. In what he's saying, essentially, is that we've lost the rule of law, and it seems as though that's about exactly the case here. And not only that, we're paying many billions of dollars every year because we've lost that rule of law. And maybe the cheap food that we're trying to get is not so cheap after all.
Yeah. What happens is that you slowly become a puppet government of other countries when you don't have the rule of law. The Supreme Court wrote that in 1889.
So
if Congress does not exclude aliens, it would be to that extent subject to the control of another power. And that's exactly what's happening in the United States.
So, you know, Yogi Berra once said, when you get to a fork in the road, take it. And I guess with respect to immigration, that's exactly what we've done. We've taken it. Half of us say that we should grant amnesty to everybody, all the oxen free, and the other half of us say that we should enforce the laws, or like Steve says, we lose the laws.
That's it.
So I guess it's pretty obvious where you come down, right, Ted?
Absolutely. Follow the law. That's what you've got to do. It's a nation of laws, and if you don't, you're going to lose the nation.
Okay, very much. Thank you very much for joining us, Ted Hilton, with the California Taxpayer Protection Act of 2010 in the works. Learn more about him and his organization at taxpayerrevolution.org. And what do you think out there? How should we pay for the other costs of our cheap labor? And there are so many of those costs. And right now, it's all on the taxpayer. Should it be on the food? What do you think? Join us at on the forums at metroforum.com. And tune in next week for more What's Eating What Radio. And remember, cheap food isn't. Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.